I love coming here. It's a bit like coming home, and I haven't been back to Melbourne since we moved up to the Sunshine Coast 3 years and 2 months ago. So it's interesting drive. You've got new roads, connecting stuff, and all sorts of exciting things happening. It's confusing. My GPS is going, wah. So that's been a lot of fun. Are we allowed to have some fun today? Okay, great. That's what this is for. In case you thought there would be a maths lesson or something like that, I'll be putting up charts and graphs. Queensland's fun. It's a little bit weird. No, seriously, and not just the people. They got different birds to us. So we bought a place. We wanted to be near the beach on the Sunshine Coast, and you guys have been there and come and visited us, and there's that little park by our fence. And so it goes park with a path to the beach, all trees, very nice. Our fence, our bedroom window. And there's all weird birds that, like, they don't seem to have sparrows and pigeons and stuff like that. They just got these birds that I don't even know what they are. But the other thing about Queensland is they don't have daylight saving. And they are on the east coast of Australia. So the sun's rising at about 4:30 in the morning. And the birds all come awake and sit on the fence outside our bedroom window and yell at us. I'm talking weird birds. These are not your normal birds. So, and I don't know who they are. And they wake you up and I lie there going, I'm not getting up yet, but these dudes are yelling at me. And so we've got, I'm trying to figure out what these birds are. So we've got Machine Gun Bird. And Machine Gun Bird sits on the fence and goes, eh. What is that? It's not even tweet, tweet. How do you, what noise? It's like a 10-year-old school kid playing war games at lunch break. And eh. I mean, you're going, it's actually kind of annoying, but praise God for creation and stuff, but where's my gun? And then you've got Nickoff Bird. Nickoff Bird literally sits in the tree next to the fence going, Nickoff, Nickoff, Nickoff. And it gets really annoying. I go and open the door and go, no, you Nickoff. And the bird just goes, Nickoff. I'm going, Nickoff yourself. And Karen goes, honey, the neighbours. And so I close the door and go back to bed. And yeah, it does sound a bit like that, you know, school kids and Nickoff. That's what it sounds like. Then we've got school teacher bird. School teacher bird, you, it doesn't sort of, these guys bounce off each other. School teacher bird does this sort of sit down. Like, I can hear this stuff in it. And I know attributing human emotions and intellect to animals is psychosis. I get it. But, hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying they're actually saying this. I'm saying that they're kind of saying it because I can hear it in what they're actually saying. And so I hear in the mornings, Nickoff, Nickoff, sit down. And I go, this is like a whole school of them, but only fish travel in schools, and these guys obviously travel in flocks, and I wish sometimes they would kind of get the flock out of there. And so there's another bird that called the Wot-Wot bird. This bird's ridiculous. It sounds like three old drunk guys at a bar who have just heard that Collingwood won a game and can't believe it. And so this bird goes, what? And I don't know if you know the names of some of these birds and like the actual yellow-bellied sapsucker or whatever the silly things are, but this one actually gets louder and louder and then it starts going, what? And you can picture the three old guys at the bar going, Collingwood just won, and they're putting their drink down, going, what? And so this bird does that, and I open up the door, and the bird's going, what? And I'm going, what? And the bird goes, what? And Karen goes, can you close the door and go back to bed? There's more birds. If we get time, I'll tell you about a couple more. But right now we should probably look at why we're here. I reckon... Uh-oh. I think we might have started something. Maybe we should pray. You know, I did that once before, it was good. Lord, it's good to be here. You're here, we're here, and we're going to look at your word. That's your words to us. So we go, not just words in a book, but you speaking to us. Would you speak deep down inside our spirits today, something that's lasting, that burns inside of us and stays, remains there, and makes a difference down the track? Thank you for that. Amen. We're going to look at encourage, is what I'm calling it. It's the idea of encouragement. And the media team got onto me last week and went, "You sure you're spelling that right?" So, which is cute, really, because yes, that's deliberate. taking the passage from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 that everybody knows. Yeah, so you can, yeah. So we've got a roving whiteboard. Excellent. You could do that while I'm writing on it. That'd be fun. Oh, dear. Let's consider how to encourage one another to love and good deeds. This is interesting. So writer to the Hebrews, writing to all of the Jewish Christians at the time going, hey, can you have a think about how we should encourage each other? How can you do that? Goes on to say, don't forget to gather together. Some people have. But encouraging one another. Interesting, isn't it? Encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And I jotted this down as this, I didn't put the translation, Passion Translation, NLT something. We must also consider how to encourage each other to show love and do good things. That sounds like easy translation, doesn't it? We should not stop gathering together with other believers, like some do. Instead, we must continue to encourage each other, even more as we see the day of the Lord. Okay. Now, this is your part. This is an interactive message. So what we're going to do in just a minute, and I'm really glad that Kids Church stayed in, because this will give us a great opportunity. We're going to get up and go and encourage someone. So how that works is this. We are all going to get up and go and encourage someone. Ready, set, go.
Mainly be for 30 seconds, but I thought, don't want you guys to miss out. I'd come and encourage you. Why don't you drop a comment in below and encourage someone else who's here in this live stream, even if you don't know who's here, to say, I encourage you. Drop an encouragement. I want to encourage you. It is awesome that you are here right now, that you haven't let distance or time or anything like that get in the way. I encourage you, be excited. The fact that you are here, you're hungry enough to be online. God's going to work through that. I love that. I know that so many times in the Bible, when someone that people say, I'm going to put that effort in, I'm going to get there, I'm going to be a part of church, I'm going to be a part of God's house, no matter what's going on around me, God always moves in those times. So get excited. Good? God's here to move. God's ready to do something okay for you. I encourage you with that.
Awesome. We've got a roving mic that we can't find right now. It's roved. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask some people to call out exactly. Look at that. I won't ask you to call out, I'll ask you to put your hand up. Gentleman who made the very brave move of wearing a short-sleeved shirt today in Melbourne weather. How did you feel after someone encouraged you? Awesome. Let's put awesome up on the board. Someone else, put a hand up please, and we'll get over to you with a mic that's not working, but you'll just have to yell.
I felt loved.
Loved. Wow. That's a good encouragement when you feel that afterwards. Someone else. I'm not going to stop until I get half a dozen of these.
I felt appreciated.
Wow. Felt appreciated. And while I'm doing that, don't just go, oh, he's got creases in the back of his shirt. He should have worn a different shirt in the car on the way here. So that was... Go, How did I feel after that? And have a think about it. Next, please.
I felt lifted.
You felt lifted? Wow. I want to feel that. That's cool. Someone else.
I'll do one while I've got it. I felt noticed.
Okay, that's awesome. In a world that doesn't do that a lot.
Valued.
Very good. We've got room for one more at the bottom there.
One we just got from our live stream, fearless.
Fearless. So that kind of took away some of their fear. That is sensational. You know, growing up in church took a long time for me to start to feel a lot of that, because any time I heard someone talking about why you should go to church, it was like, you got to go to church and you should be in church and you better be in church every Sunday, should be at church. If you don't go to church, God's cross with you and I'm cross with you and I'll give you a ring during the week because you should be here. That's what church attendance is about. And it's in the Bible, so there. In different ways, over the years, I've heard that message many times. Why does God want us to be here? I'll tell you why. God wants you to feel awesome. Amen. He wants you to feel loved.
Yes.
He wants you to feel appreciated. Yes. He wants you to leave here feeling lifted.
Yes.
Yeah. He wants you to be noticed in a world that doesn't notice people. And often overlooks people. He's going, you are noticed, you are valued.
Yes.
And he wants to put some courage into you, the guts of what encouragement's all about. God's not going, you better in church, and you ain't going to go to church, and the pastor's going to ring you up and be here. Because he's not a petty moron. Okay? What he is a loving, awesome God who wants us to feel like that and knows if we come here and lift each other up and encourage each other, we can leave with some of that in us. How's the atmosphere now? Can you feel that? What? If I was God, and I'm not, please don't make that mistake. Some of you may not be here. If I was God, I would want people to feel lifted up. I used to work in a church not far from here, and it was quite a large church with a school. And to get your child into the school, you had to have a pastoral reference. And we wanted a pastoral reference from your pastor of your church to get the kid into the school. And I had someone from another church come to me and say they wanted me to write their pastoral reference, even though they didn't go to our church. So I went, okay. I know the guy. How can I write him a reference? And so I wanted to get to know him a bit and before I would do that. And said, what? Why? What? Tell me about your church. And he started crying. And he said, every time I go to church, I leave feeling like a great weight's been put on my shoulders. And I walk out of there feeling bowed down. It's terrible. That's crushing. That is the opposite of what God wants us to feel. Yeah? Uplifted. Freed, fearless, you know, loved and appreciated. And I wrote the guy a reference and he said, I've been here a couple of times and I want to come here because it's a good church. I've been here a couple of times and it's a good church, yeah. You can feel this sort of stuff when you come along here. Church was never meant to be a put down. Church was never meant to lay a heavy load on you. Jesus told off the scribes and the Pharisees for laying heavy loads on people that were too big for them to lift. Yeah? So, sorry, that got a little bit serious. In the previous verse, when it said, let's consider, the word is katanoio in Greek, and we do those not to show off that we've done a Greek word study, because sometimes that makes things worse, not better. but that word means to think things over and to fully observe and consider quite deeply, to mull over something. Let's consider how to encourage each other. Let's have a long, hard think about that. Because here's something else that happens when we encourage. How do you feel afterwards? So who said loved? Who said they felt loved? Who encouraged you so that you felt loved? Caitlin encouraged you. Caitlin, how did you feel when I was asking the questions and I went, someone else and this dude, sorry, what's your name?
David.
David goes, I felt loved. How did you feel at that minute? Yeah. So that when we go and put courage into someone else, all of a sudden that's ministering to us as well. Can you see the multiplying effect of what God wants to be happening right here in our lives, in our services, in our meetings, not just on Sundays, but other days as well? So let's have a think about it. Let's have a think about how we could do that. The next word in that verse, sorry guys, I'm going to keep doing this a little bit, one before it, is let's consider how to encourage one another. The word for encourage is different both time. So the word in the verse before that, how to encourage, is the word paroxysmos, which means to urge, to excite, to provoke. It's almost like a cheerleading word. Yeah? So let's think long and hard about how we could cheer people on. Isn't that great? How could I do that? I could have a person in mind. I could think, what if I get to church and I see someone that just looks a bit down? I'm going to look for that person and see if I could be their cheerleader for the day. Yeah? I want to be the one who puts some courage in, not the one who dumps stuff on them and weighs them down. The second time it's used in that next slide there, don't stay away. Be here to encourage people. That's our reason for coming. Yeah? The word encourage there is, it's a good word. You will recognize it, some of you, who are those who may have done some Bible studies. The word's paracleo. What does that sound a bit like? A little bit like parakletos, one of the names for the Holy Spirit. It's an interesting term. It's like a legal term for one who is called alongside to help, like an advisor, a counselor, like a legal counsel. So that is one of the job descriptions of the Holy Spirit. But let's us think a little bit about how we could be like the Holy Spirit to one another. Yeah? To come alongside and help. That when someone is feeling a bit pushed down and maybe other people have said stuff to them that leaves them feeling whatever the opposite of awesome is, unloved, unappreciated, put down, not noticed, devalued and fearful, that we come along. Pete, can you be my guinea pig, mate? It's all right. I'm not going to beat you up or anything. Just. And that he's all down and thingo, and that we're the people who uplift and come alongside and walk with. Yeah? Can you do that? That wasn't too bad, was it? It's the beginning of a great acting career, mate. Okay. So, when we put all of that together in the Robinson translation, it comes up with, let's deliberately think hard about the best ways to encourage others to be loving and to excite them about doing good things. Let's cheer them on. Don't stay away. Be near for others to comfort, exhort, and strengthen them. People need that more and more these days. And you can fixate on end times hoo-ha and pretend you understand it all you want, but the point of that verse isn't to do that, but to go, these days, for whatever reason and whatever your theories are, these days, we need that more and more. whatever it is about these days when we are so much more connected than ever and have so much more wealth than ever and so much more of everything instant than ever and higher depression and suicide rates than ever. These days we need this stuff more and more. People need this, yeah? So God goes, so come along and do this. Okay. Concise Oxford Dictionary says, to encourage is to give courage to urge, to assist, to stimulate by helping. It comes from the Latin word, it's not actually a Greek word, encourage, is a, you know how English is like just a hybridization of 16 other languages. Latin and French, the N there is to put into, put courage into, to put courage back into someone who needs it. Because you can get knocked around and have some of that stuff taken out of you. Yeah? And we get the awesome privilege of putting that back into people. And when we do that and they're feeling loved, we feel awesome from that. It goes round and round. Okay. Here we go. Why should I encourage people? We can move on to another slide now. Guys up the back have gone to sleep going, really? Why would you encourage someone else? Well, first of all, the Bible says encourage people. That's a great reason. If there's no other reason, if we didn't have that whiteboard, you know, okay, well, maybe I should. Next reason, God encourages me. He does that all the time through his word, through other people. Could be through the worship. Awesome worship this morning. Great band and singers. So just, you know, you feel uplifted from that. People need it. People need encouragement. I'm going to just move that so you can see stuff. People need encouragement these days. People need to feel loved and appreciated and valued. Just had Are You Okay Day. People need to know that someone cares and that someone's concerned. And we don't need more Danny Frawleys and Paul Greens. Yeah? We need to be speaking into people's lives, making sure they're okay in here. Yeah? Don't wonder, oh, so-and-so was a bit quiet today. Really? Oh, she didn't talk to me. Really? Be the person, yeah? That goes and puts something in and finds out what the deal is. All right, sorry, that sounded serious too. I might need it. That goes around, comes around. It's not karma. Yeah, this is sowing and reaping. Way more powerful, way more effective, way stronger. You know, put that in, it comes back manyfold. Let's encourage people because it works. We just saw that live right here and didn't even go and milk everyone for a response. Yeah, this stuff works. John Maxwell in one of his books gives a great illustration of an experiment they did at a university where people had to stand in a bucket of ice. I know, that would be freezing after a while. I don't know the exact times, but what they did the first time was they stood in a bucket of ice until they couldn't handle it anymore and jumped out. The next time, I guess once their feet were defrosted, the next time they had a bunch of friends and family around them cheering them on. And on average, they could stay in the bucket of ice twice as long. This stuff works. This isn't spiritual theories. This isn't airy-fairy stuff. You know, this stuff works on a practical level. Maybe the person you encourage is going through something and maybe they can stick at it a bit longer because of your encouragement. Yeah? Maybe. I think it can happen. I just want a sip of something. Is that okay? Oh, right there next to me. Yep, okay. I knew that. The last one is this. My encouragement might have an eternal effect. Who knows? I really like some of the moves in evangelism right now towards I don't have to convert everybody, but maybe I could be that person who walks alongside. Maybe I could guide. Maybe someone plants someone waters, someone's the sunshine, someone's the fertilizer. Now, a lot of people think that I pour stuff on things. And then God gives the increase. You know, the old way of doing it was, I have to get you saved on the spot, or I'm doing something wrong and you're going to hell. Which is awkward and weird and not really the picture in the Bible. Why did we get stuck in that for so long? Thankfully, we've moved to more of that planting and watering and, yes, fertilizing and sunshiny thing. And sometimes that little bit of warmth and sunshine is the thing that makes it spring up. Yeah? This stuff could have an eternal effect for someone. Your encouragement. Let's do that. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Yeah. Wow. Life and death? Yeah. Yeah. Very powerful, very positive. Can we speak life? Look at this stuff here. That enhances life. That leaves a deposit inside. That helps things to spring up. How are we doing for time? Tell you about another Queensland bird. We've got bush turkeys. No, just because. Do you guys know bush turkeys? Seriously, weird looking soccer balls that they are. They're a bit like a bird that we used to have down near the lakes near Lyndhurst. I don't know, we called them goonie birds. These ones are different. These are kind of shorter and dumber. You see them splattered on the road. Okay, I'm not talking. Yeah, it's not necessarily a bad thing. And this isn't tourists. This is, these things just wander in front of your car and hope you'll stop. They're weird, weird things, bush turkeys. And they will go through your, if you leave a backpack on the beach, they'll get their head in and flog your lunch and stuff like that. I know. This isn't the backpackers up there. This is the bush turkeys doing that. Seriously. And there's another bird called, I call it, what you doing, Bobby? Because, no, don't laugh. It's someone who's a dedicated, what's a bird watcher called? Lepidopterist or something, whatever it is. It's a beekeeper, isn't it? I don't know. So this bird sits outside on our fence and goes, and it gets a bit more plaintive with its cry as it goes. And I'm hearing, what you doing, Bobby? Where you going, Bobby? And I don't know if any of you are fans of the genre. I know. They're coming to take me away at the end. Genre of a modern American Western romance dramas. It's a fairly niche specific. But it gives me this picture of the ruggedly handsome, rebellious dude, Bobby, with his messy hair and bit of unshaven thing and his big belt buckle and Levi's and check shirt and a big hat, and he's kind of the town rebel, and he's going out with little Miss Gorgeous Chicky Babe from the local diner, yeah. And but because Bobby's a rebel, her dad's the town sheriff, and he's one of those guys that wears all black and he's got the big badge, and he's, you know, deputies have been responsible for a few people going missing, and he's targeting Bobby now because his daughter's fallen in love with him, and Bobby knows that he needs to get out of town and go somewhere else to make his living, and he's looking to move off to LA or New York or somewhere to try and make a bit of a living and get the girlfriend to come over with him later on. And the final scene of the movie is not always very well directed because, you know, sometimes the producers want a little bit too much, and so In the final scene, you know, the sun's setting, and instead of watching his car drive away, she's side on in profile to the camera so they can get the little tear running down the side of her face as her hair's blowing back, which is weird because there's no wind. And his car heads off down the driveway as he's gone out to load the thing. And it's like one of those old F-250 utes. And his loading the thing is like a rifle and a duffel bag. And as he's putting them into the car to drive off to seek his fortune, she's going, "What you doing, Bobby? Where you going, Bobby?" And getting more emotional as he's hopping in to drive off, going, "What you doing, Bobby? Where you going, Bobby?" And you see the lights, the brake lights at the back as he indicates and turns off onto the highway to head out to seek his fame and fortune. And the setting of the sun kind of represents the sun going down on their relationship and the darkness of the movie as a whole. And that bird sits on my fence at 4:30 in the morning. Can I tell you, I just want Bobby's gun, all right? Okay, Queensland birds. We're going to move back into the message now. I just needed to tell... if you think we've got it easy up there, you don't understand a life of hardship on the Queensland coast. I had encouragers when I was growing up. My parents and grandparents encouraged me in how to live and to be nice and went to my sporting games. My dad used to come and watch me play cricket at primary school. And if I got anywhere near the ball, "Oh, that's my boy." I'd go, "Oh, how embarrassing. Oh, shut up, Dad. Don't, can't just go home, will you?" His dad was a woodwork instructor at Adelaide Boys High. And my dad, when he was a kid, would bring home a ruler that he'd made and his dad would break it in front of him and say it was rubbish. And he shouldn't have got a passing grade for it and sent him to his room repeatedly. My dad broke that. And he would come to my games and cheer me on and be really proud of me. He was kind of my cheerleader. He wasn't a perfect dad by any stretch. But he broke that cycle of put down and discouragement and devalue and started to build us up. Can we maybe, if we've experienced some of that stuff in the past, be the ones who open a bit of a legacy now and some doors to kind of an encouragement thing for our family? I had teachers and lecturers who encouraged me. In ministry, I've had ministers and church leaders who have encouraged me. My wife is my biggest fan and encourager. My kids, my friends. So I've learned to want to be an encourager to others. I see that as actually my ministry. I used to think my ministry was speaking. I think preaching and public speaking and seminars and facilitating and stuff like that. Now I actually realise it's encouragement. And I can do that one-to-one. And I can do that around the coffee table, and I can do that at a supermarket checkout, and I can do it at the Greek restaurant my kids took me to for a late Father's Day dinner last night where I told the waitress what an awesome job she was doing. I can be the encourager wherever I go, so it's not reliant on me having an audience. Can I tell you, you have an encouragement ministry? Yeah? We all do. Wherever you go, encourage people. It's straight from the Bible. God doesn't say stuff we can't do. So you've got an encouragement. So whatever ministry you think you have, "Oh, I'm the end time prophet for this church." Okay. Jury's out on that one. But whatever ministry you think you have an encouragement ministry. Yeah? That's like baseline. And from there, you go, then if that's the case, how do I develop that? How do I work on that? How do I... How do I do that? Well, the Bible says, all the more. Do that all the more. As you see the day approaching, do that all the more. Do it more and more. People need it more and more these days. All the more what? Well, all the more people. Why stick to the same old ones all the time? But yeah, you know. Good word, Pete. Scrubbed up well, Chrissy. Next week. Good word, Pete. Scrubbed up well, Chrissy. Next week it's her turn to speak. Good word, Chrissy. Scrubbed up okay, Pete. What about all the more people? What if we expand our vision a little bit and go, maybe there are others there that I could do that. What about all the more often? Do we have to just save it for Sundays? Or could I be looking around wherever I am? And what about all the more effectively? What if it's not just, good word, Pete. Scrummed up well, Chrissy. But go and see someone and go, dude, I can tell you pray about what to bring and that you've got a genuine heart for people here. And you don't just want to hear from God and preach at them. You want to relate to where people are at and bring something from God for them. Thanks for that. It's awesome. Okay? Build people up on the inside. We can be better at this stuff, yeah? Let's be really good at it. Doesn't take much. I've got a few ideas. A compliment. A smile. And it can be, cool hat, Brookie. And she might have been going, am I going to wear this hat? Do I look stupid? I'm going to be up on the platform singing and people could be going, oh, she's got a funny hat on. What does she think she is? And your cool hat, little compliment, could be the thing that goes, wow. And she walks 10 foot tall for the rest of the day. A smile can do it sometimes. Smiley people seem kind of warm and approachable and like a hug. You want a good hug? Go and see Chris. A warm handshake, a pat on the back, a note, an email, a card, a text. Some easy words. How can I speak life into this person, into this situation? Okay, so where are we? Two things. I'm going to give you some homework and then the message is going to take a last minute weird left turn. I know, you thought it already did with the where you're going Bobby story. Homework. You thought you'd get out of it. And I want everyone to do their homework or come back next week with a note from your mum. Can we encourage someone every day for a week? Can we do that? Give that a go. Text it to yourself in the phone or something. Write it down or do something to go every day. Who could it be today? And if you're working from home and you don't see many people, think of creative ways, yeah? Whatever the situation, could I encourage someone every day this week? And maybe if couples, if things have been a bit strained, maybe each other every day for a week. Give that one a go. Okay. Weird left turn at the end of the message. So encouragement is us speaking strength, speaking life into the life of someone else. Interestingly, God encourages us in many different ways through his word and through other people and through the worship and so on, but also sometimes directly through prophecy. And we've got a last minute verse there from 1 Corinthians where it says, one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them and comforts them. The words edify, exhort and comfort. So the difference there is that that's an encouragement to someone else from God. So I could encourage you or I could ask God for something to encourage you. Now people get really weird and spooky about prophecy and spiritual gifts and things like that. And I've been at the weird and spooky end and I've heard people at the weird and spooky end. And I don't really like the weird and spooky end. I think it's supposed to be pretty natural. Paul goes, I wish you'd all prophesy. When you prophesy, what you do is you encourage someone and strengthen them and comfort them. Yeah? So can we all do that? Here's a weird question. Where does one start and the other one stop? When is it us and when is it God? Because it's encouragement and not directive, you're not prophesying over someone to go to China or sell their house and give the money to you. And it's not punitive. This is not you bringing correction to someone's life. We've got a pretty clear definition in the Bible of what the New Testament gift of prophecy is. So you go outside of encouragement and strengthening and comforting, not prophecy. It's something else. Now I get there's ministry of a prophet. It's not us. We're doing New Testament gift of prophecy. So if God says, go and say this to Peter and encourage him, and I go and say that to Peter and encourage him, is that prophetic? It's not a trick question. Yeah, totally is. If God says, go and encourage Peter, and I go and encourage Peter, you're a good guy and you're doing a good job. Is that prophetic? Yes, it totally is. Me following what God said to speak into the life of someone else. If God says, go and encourage people, and I go to Peter, and I go, I just want you to know, from me and God, you're a good guy. You're doing a good job. Is that prophetic? Yes, it is. Someone hearing from God and following through. Okay, being that voice of encouragement in someone's life. If you think, I'm going to go and encourage Peter. And I go to Peter and go, you're a good guy. You're doing a good job. And he goes, that is straight from God. I needed that. Is that prophetic? Totally is. Whether I felt like I had a specific word or not. If I think, I'm going to go and encourage Peter and go, you're a good guy and you're doing a good job. And he goes, yeah, whatever. Which he does. That's, he did it. No, he didn't. And he walks off and thinks, what an idiot. Probably does it to everyone. And a year later, when he's feeling devalued and unnoticed and so on, and he remembers that and he goes, wow, that was a word from God. That was, I should have latched onto that. It's speaking to me now. Was that prophetic? Yeah, totally was. If you feel to encourage someone, don't go, is that really from God? Should I do it? I don't know. Is that prophecy? My mum's so cute. She goes along to the seniors meeting at her church because in the afternoon she can take all morning to get ready and all night to get unready. And then I ring her, oh, this is on tape, isn't it? On going out live. I don't think she'll watch it. She goes, I can't watch things online because I don't have a Microsoft. Okay, Mum, that's good. So she comes home and she rings and she goes, I heard a really good word for everybody from Psalm 23, but I didn't know if it was from the Lord. So I didn't do it. Okay, Mum. It's from the Lord. You thought you should share God's word with God's people and weren't sure if that was from God? It's from God. If it's a put down, it's not. Yeah? If it's weird and embarrassing and awkward, not encouraging and so on. Do you know prophecy isn't, New Testament prophecy isn't about the future? But it speaks into the future, okay? So that if you do this for someone and they feel lifted, wow, the rest of the day or week or month, they could go, that's the first time I felt valued or loved for quite a while. You've just spoken into their future, yeah? This is seed planting stuff that can grow and move along. So, what we're going to do now is finish off with going and sharing a word from God for someone else. So if you feel you've gotten encouragement from God, go and share that with someone. Or if you feel there's someone who needs that, you feel God's pointing you to someone, go and share an encouragement. Either way, don't get caught up in, I have to have a specific word or a specific verse, or it better be this and it should be right and it's not about the end times. So in a minute, we're going to get up and go and share an encouragement from God with someone else. First, I have one for the church, which I started to feel when Caleb and Jordan were sharing stuff this morning. And it goes a bit like this, and I want to kind of speak this over you in a way, if I can. Just go with me for a minute. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's amazing creation, potential, all the stuff there ready. And the earth was without form. It was shapeless. Nothing taking shape. And void, empty. Nothing there. And dark. Darkness was everywhere. And we go, nothing taking shape. Obviously God's not in it. It's empty. I feel empty. Obviously God's left me. It's far away. And the Spirit of God was moving. Whoa, that's a bit of a disconnect. Hang on. Dark, shapeless, and empty, and the Spirit of God was moving. Over all of that, the Spirit of God was moving. The word is hovering. The Spirit of God's hovering, brooding. The Spirit of God's hatching something. Yeah? The Spirit of God's moving right here, right now, hatching something. Doesn't matter if you think there's been nothing taking shape for me lately. I feel empty. I feel, you know, things have been a bit dark. The Spirit of God's moving. Do not ever think in those situations, God's far away, he's not listening. Oh, people go, you're the one who's moved, you're far away. No, you're not. You're totally not. The Spirit of God's moving. He is hovering over you. He's hatching something. Yeah? He's warming it up. He's making it ready. Spirit of God's moving, and God spoke. Very next thing, let there be light. And there was. There was light. So whatever's happening right now for you, and you go, I had all this potential, all this creation, all this amazing, and now it's like been murky. Spirit of God's moving, yeah? You watch. God's about to speak to that situation. It's going to bring light at the end of that. Watch for that to happen. I believe that's a word for the church and for the individuals in the church. Now, don't take as long as I just did, or we'll be here forever. Can we please get up and go and share with someone an encouragement from God?